Well, it's wonderful to be here this morning at Mountain View. Thank you for having me. This is a congregation I always enjoy coming to visit. I wish there was people actually in front of me, but that's the world we live in right now. As happy as I am to be here, you know, being a visiting preacher this time of the year, sometimes is a bit of a downer. It's not really ideal. You know, honestly, the Sunday after New Year's feels a little bit like dead space. Historically, this is a Sunday that's the least attended in the entire church year, or in this case, it's probably the least viewed. And that's not just because I'm preaching, that's everywhere. It's a bit of a deflated Sunday, and it almost feels like the church has kind of got a hangover after the holidays. We've been hyped for Christmas. If you were like my family, we had an Advent calendar, you know, we're counting down the days until the coming of Christ into our midst. And then he's here. You celebrate. And then, what? You know what I mean, right? The big turkey meal's been eaten, and we've got leftovers. The gifts have all been unpacked by now, and we've got to pay off our credit card. New Year's Eve came and went. January begins gray and gloomy. There's a feeling a lot of people often get after the holidays. Can we call it melancholy? I don't quite know how to describe the feeling, but I think you know what I mean. Weariness, something like that. Christ has come. The baby's been born. The angels have sung. But now the sky looks empty, and the shepherds go back to their fields to work, and the three wise men have to go home too. We've got to get on with life. And for all the excitement, what's different? Is January 1st really much different than December 31st? It's not like COVID just disappeared, did it? Jesus has come. But sometimes it feels like the world just keeps going on like it always has, like it always will, whether it's year one or year 2021. So yeah, for a lot of people, a kind of melancholy sets in after the holidays, which makes it a perfect time to ponder the book of Ecclesiastes. It's perfect because in this book, God speaks directly into the void, this melancholy, which sometimes tugs on our souls this time of the year. There's nothing new under the sun, says the book of Ecclesiastes. So what's the point of it all? This is a big question. It's the question that begins the book, and it's a question that cuts deep because Ecclesiastes imagines it's not just anybody asking this question, what's the point of it all? It's actually King Solomon asking this question. And if you're new to faith, if you're new to the Bible and you don't know who King Solomon is, let me tell you, he's the king in the Bible who's supposedly the wisest of all people. He's rich, he's successful, he's powerful. And if he's asking the question, what's the point of it all? How can we avoid that question? That same question was asked in the passage we read earlier from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, particularly in verse 9. What do workers gain from their toil? In other words, what's the point of it all? I don't know if you've caught it. It's such a beautiful passage, and It's so beautiful. Of course, it's been immortalized by in pop culture as it was being read. Maybe you were thinking of the Byrds' classic rock song, "Turn, Turn, Turn, to Everything, Turn, Turn, Turn." I won't sing it for you. You probably know the song, or you can watch it on YouTube after the sermon. It's a beautiful song, and it's a beautiful passage, but it's also haunting. It's a hauntingly beautiful passage, and right in the middle of it, like a lump in the throat, sits this question. What do we gain from our toil? Or in this translation that I'm using here. But in the end, does it really make a difference what anyone does. It's an uncomfortable thought, isn't it? It's not something you're going to probably write on a post-it note and stick on your fridge so that you can ponder it as you walk by during this new year. But I find it amazing that the Bible, God's Word, asks an uncomfortable question like this. Because you've asked it. You've wrestled with it, right? And I have too. What's the point? I was thinking, when I was young and studying to be a minister, I worked one summer for the Church of Scotland on a beautiful, soggy island up in the Scottish Hebrides. One day I was down at the local pub having a pint, chatting with some of the old-time farmers, the crofters who came in there in the afternoon. And the TV screen was on the wall, and it was set perpetually to the BBC News, of course. And as I'm drinking my pint, the BBC News is announcing that Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth, was that very week setting out on a tour of Scotland, including the very island that we were on. And I thought this was kind of cool. But one of the old-timers turns to me. "Ach, laddie," he says. "Her Majesty thinks Scotland smells like new paint." I don't understand. Her Majesty thinks Scotland smells like new paint? Well, he explains, whenever Her Majesty the Queen visits, everything in Scotland quickly gets fixed. Potholes filled. Panhandlers disappear. Buildings get scrubbed. Everything smells like new paint for the royal visit. And the point this old crofter was making is that the real Scotland doesn't smell that way. It doesn't look fresh and it doesn't smell lovely. What the Queen was experiencing wasn't authentic. And I've always remembered that old timer's remark. I liked it. The Bible does not smell like new paint. God's Word does not whitewash over a world that is peeling or lives that are chipped and worn out. God speaks frankly, honestly, and authentically in His Word. But all that we see, all that we feel, even when what we see and feel is upsetting or ugly, whatever is has already been. And what will be again. Verse 15. You know that ache, don't you? So what's the point of it all? You've asked that question, haven't you? I have. And I rejoice that God's Word asks this unvarnished question of you and me on the threshold of a new year. Because it's exactly the kind of question that we wrestle with, that troubles us. So what is this? What is this unvarnished truth, this unvarnished feeling? Let's look a little bit more closely at the first 8 verses. Beautiful passage. I won't read it again, but it's on the screen for you to see. Now, I wonder what particular image struck you as this passage was read. A poem of great beauty. The images might speak to each of us all a little differently. I mean, maybe you're expecting a child this year. It's a time to be born. Maybe someone you love in 2021 will pass. This will be a time to die. Maybe when you heard the verse, a time to keep, a time to throw away, your thinking of those resolutions that you've been making these last few days. Good luck with that. Personally, I was struck by verse 7. There's a time to tear and a time to mend. I feel like so much in our world this past year was torn. I hope God in His mercy mends it in 2021. And we could look at each verse individually as if we were admiring a single tree in this great forest. But it's the whole forest that's the point of the poem. Everything has its time. To everything, there is a season. And all this is not under our control. The teacher puts it in a mysterious way. The writer of Ecclesiastes, the teacher, says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away. It's a poetic way of saying that everything happens on God's time, not on ours. Do you choose to be born or die? Not really. Do we choose when to weep or not? Not usually. Life happens to us, and the wise person responds accordingly to circumstances beyond our control, weeping or mourning at happy moments, weeping or mourning at sad moments, laughing and dancing at happy moments. We plant our seeds in the fall when it's, or in the spring, and we pick our apples in the fall when the things are ripe. But we don't control the seasons any more than we control the weather. Again, the overall feeling from this passage in Ecclesiastes is that life is happening to us. Things aren't under our control. And I think 2020 taught us that lesson quite well, didn't it? It's a time to mask, a time to take our masks off. These are not ours to determine. And so the teacher says with a sigh, God has made everything beautiful in its time, everything fitting. He has set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Life just goes on. The years roll by. And God is in charge, sure, but we don't have his plan. Sometimes it feels like that plan is on repeat. Verse 15, whatever is, has already been. And what will be, has been before. And really, for all our talk about this unprecedented year that we just had, the headlines, as you can see from this picture, don't look very much different than they did a century ago. What has been will be again. Nothing new under the sun. No wonder a kind of melancholy can set in. And this question sits. In the end, does it make a difference what anyone does? I encounter this attitude even among students in my work as a university chaplain. I'm often surprised at the end of 4 years of studies, these students with so much vitality and so much promise and future often display a weariness, in fact, a kind of cynicism. What's the point of it all? Where is it going? It can be a bit deflating, and I'm not trying to bring you down here, but let's not whitewash over this aching question that even God's Word asks. We get up every morning. We go to work or school or the coffee shop, just like we do every morning. What's the point? Is this just a chasing after the wind, as the book of Ecclesiastes says? Now he takes a stab, the writer takes a stab at a kind of answer. He says, I know there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat, drink, find satisfaction in all their work. This is the gift of God. I don't know, how does this answer sit with you? Eat, drink, be merry. I don't know. I sometimes get the feeling that like we're being told we should stuff the ache with food or drown it with liquor. And remarkably, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul criticizes the pagans of his day for a very similar kind of attitude, as you can see. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So now we have advice from Ecclesiastes, from this teacher, which not only sounds a little hopeless, it also stands against what the New Testament teaches. It feels like I might be painting myself in a bit of a corner here. Almost, but not quite. You see, what Ecclesiastes is doing, what the teacher is trying to do, is show us perspective. He's trying to teach us the right way of looking at the world by showing us the wrong way of looking at the world, at life. Ecclesiastes is about perspective. And the great reformer Martin Luther in the 1500s, he read the book of Ecclesiastes every week. For him, it was like a slap in the face that he needed to help him get the right perspective. And what is this perspective? Let's explore this a little bit. Let me explain what I mean. Take a look at this image. What do you see? Some of you see a duck? Sure. Some of you see a rabbit? Absolutely. You see, people can look at the same thing, the facts, and draw very different conclusions. Perspective is what we learn in the book of Ecclesiastes. The teacher tells us that he set out to investigate the facts, the world around him. He says this, "I looked most carefully into everything, searched out all that is done on the earth. Let me tell you, there's not much to write home about. I've seen it all, and it's nothing but smoke. Smoke and a spitting into the wind." That's a harsh but fair conclusion to draw if you just look at the facts around us, the world around us, and our lives therein. Maybe that's as far as the wisdom of the world can take us. Nothing seems to change. Christmases come and go. December's limp into January's. All our toil is nothing more than a drop in the bucket. Whatever is has been before, and what will be has already been. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. Van Morrison sings in one of his songs, "Everything in life just passes away. It doesn't matter to which God you pray. Precious time slipping away." So what do? We go ahead and eat, drink, get what we can. Lord knows there's enough people in the Okanagan Valley who are doing exactly that with their lives. We could observe the facts, our lives, the rolling by of the years, and conclude, no, it doesn't really make a difference what we do, what anyone does. But that's just one perspective. It's a dreary one, for it's a vision of life that is truly inconsequential, a chasing after the wind. But what if we were to look at the same facts, the same life, the same world, and see not the duck, but the rabbit? The same world, your life, my life, our time, could be seen altogether differently. Yes, it does make a difference what anyone does. My life matters. Your life matters. Whether we find ourselves seeking or losing, weeping or laughing, silent or speaking, life happens, and what we do in response to that life matters. Our work matters. Even if 2021 looks like 2020 or 2019, as we go to work and raise our families, take care of our friends, it matters. But how can we say this? How can we know? How can we answer yes to the question posed in this book? In the end, does it make a difference what anyone does? Again, it's about learning perspective. If we do what the teacher here in Ecclesiastes does and just observe the world with our senses and trust in what we see, we won't be able to answer yes. Another year will just look like another year, a chasing after the wind. We need the gift of another perspective, a perspective from from beyond. Look at this image. What do you see here? Some look at the facts and they see a baby born 2,000 years ago in a small family who belonged to a small religion in a small and insignificant country, a baby who lived a short life, a life snuffed out in an execution, the life and death of a nobody. Or we look at those same facts, the same small baby, and we hear, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that they might receive adoption as sons, as children of the Father. For this baby would grow into a man whose life, death, and resurrection is the axis on which time spins. He is the plot at the center of the story, the one who gives meaning and hope to our days." We don't know this with our eyes. We know this through faith, by hearing the word of grace and truth, and by choosing to let his story give our lives meaning and purpose. So in the end, does it make a difference what anyone does? Yes, because of the baby born in Bethlehem, it does. And we can answer yes only through faith, only by gaining this perspective. It does not come by sight. And it's by choosing to answer yes that our little lives can have meaning and purpose, and our little lives of work and love carry what C.S. Lewis called the weight of glory. Then, and only then, may we, like our neighbors and our friends, eat and drink and find satisfaction in our work, not as an escape from the burden of life, but rather to celebrate life as the gift of God. So in 2021, a choice confronts you, and it confronts me this day, every day, for the rest of the year. Just like our neighbors, we're going to get up, we're going to go to school, we're going to go to work, we're going to take care of our families, we're going to care for our friends. The days will blend together as if what has been will be again, and what already is past is now. Yet a choice is before us. Do we perceive this year, these days, as a duck or a rabbit? Do our days pass like smoke, weightless? Or do they bear the weight of glory? To the untrained eye, our lives may look like any other person's life, and 2021 will be just another year, full of ups and downs, dancing and mourning, gathering and leaving. But to the eye of faith, who knows that because the Son of God has entered our world in the fullness of time and taken our time into his fullness, life matters. And there's an eternity in our days, and a glory in our work, and a gift in every meal, and a divine hand behind every moment. This is the choice that is before us this day and every day, to look at the world like the teacher does and draw the conclusion that nothing changes, or to look at our lives, the passing of days, and to hear the word that everything has changed because of Jesus. Does it make a difference what anyone does? Yes, it does. And I want to invite you to answer yes with me in the words of this confession of faith. This is a recent Reformed confession of faith. Please read along with me. As followers of Jesus Christ living in this world, which some seek to control and others view with despair, we declare with joy and trust, our world belongs to God. From the beginning, through all the crises of our times, until the until the kingdom fully comes, God keeps covenant forever. Our world belongs to God. God is king. Let the earth be glad. Christ is victor. His rule has begun. The Spirit is at work. Creation is renewed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And God bless us.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. Been held in your hand. moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will see of the goodness of God's goodness all my life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived the good days. God, all my life, all my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so good, with every breath that I have made, oh, I will sing the goodness of God. Sing your goodness. Your goodness is running after me, running after me. Your goodness is running after me. My life laid down, surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me, running after me. Sing that again. Your goodness. Your goodness is running after, running after me. Your goodness is running after me. My life laid down, surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God, and I will sing of the goodness of God.
2021, what will it bring us? Love and hate, war and peace, mourning, dancing, coming, going. Whatever this year brings us, let us go into it with confidence, knowing that it matters because of Jesus Christ. And may his grace and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us each day of this year. Amen.